Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Hi, you're on the near post. I am Patrick Bordier, and we are talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. And just this morning when I was scrabbling about for news and indeed show content, the Jets and the FFA decided to help me out, so that'll be the big focus of the show. Now, with me in the studio are Nick Ames and Aaron Walker. How are you going, Aaron?
Not too bad, Patty. Is that the crowd I can hear cheering in the background?
I think it is. We're going to have we've got a crowd in the studio tonight, a little bit of white noise, so please bear with us, folks. Nick, how are you going? Nick Ames.
Oh, not too bad, Patty. Yeah. Kind of in two minds about this Newcastle thing. I don't know whether to shout it from the rooftops going, yes, they're finally out of the league, or just to commiserate the loss of a good rival.
Yeah, me too. I'm a bit unsure with the whole thing. But before we do get into it, it was Easter weekend. I had a great Easter. Did a big Easter egg hunt with the kiddies, and they loved it, quite frankly, which, you know, was easy money. You guys, Aaron, did you have a good Easter?
Oh, I had a great Easter. A few DVDs, a game of golf. It was lovely.
Yeah, now you
and telling finals as well.
Now, you were telling me her indoors was away, so you've been just footballing it up.
She is, it's true. My lovely fiance is in Europe for a month, so full control of the remote to me, which is fantastic, just in time for our league finals.
And Nick Jr., Easter?
Oh, mixed bag of results there. Obviously, nice to have some free meals back at home. However, the Mariners lost to the Brisbane Roar on Sunday.
Did you go to the game, Nick?
I did go to the game. Very average crowd. I think it was 9,800 or thereabouts. The weather wasn't great, but I still thought for a second leg of a semi should have been a bit higher, at least 12. But yeah, can't complain too much. We weren't really up to scratch.
All right, fantastic. Now, we're going to get into that stuff. We're also going to get into the Newcastle mess, a bit of Western Sydney ahoy, and, you know, just a little aside, there's the whole final series going on. Mm. Now, if you have an inquiry, you simply like to tell us how much you like the show, you can do so on our email, nearpostradio, or one word, at gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com. and on iTunes, as well as halftimeheroes.com.au. And I thought Eamon Flanagan, who does our nearpost.blogspot.com thingy-watsy, just did a blog which I thought was quite good, requesting O'Neill's thoughts on the whole Newcastle mess. I really would like to hear what he thought.
John O'Neill?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we've gone a long way in the wrong direction since he left. He was fantastic for the league. He was the CEO who orchestrated the move to Asia, World Cup campaign, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and set the A-League up as well. So.
And I think...
a fantastic sports administrator. By the way, for trivia, he was actually turned down for the CEO job at Man City about 6 months ago. He ran in second.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great bit of trivia.
Yeah.
I don't think he put too many feet wrong, or a foot wrong.
No, he's a fantastic sports administrator.
Now, we always do a show dedication before we get to the news, and this dedication is to a Twitter account, A-League Rhyming, a particularly good Twitter account that I like. And, in fact, the A-League Rhyming came out with a nice tweet this afternoon. Admits the FFA versus Tinkler fight. Remember, it's Johnny Warren medal night. I think there's something in that for everyone, and just a reminder that the football continues, and there's seriously the whole of the A-League to be looking at, rather than getting focused on this, I'm going to call it a minor issue now. So on the show today, we've got the news, and Aaron will be going through the news in a second, and then we'll talk through our big topics, and I want to leave a bit of time for going through the series, which, quite frankly, has been a great series.
It has.
So you are on the near post, and we're talking football, and let's have the news for this week.
Okay, and the big one, guys, is Nathan Tinkler's Hunter Sports Group, which today announced that it wants to hand back its Newcastle Jets license, and the team won't be fielding in the A-League competition next year. We'll leave the discussion for that a bit later. The reasons given were irreconcilable breakdown with a relationship with the FFA, which is, and he's not the only club owner that's been saying things along those lines. Sydney FC have also axed striker Bruno Casarin, along with Carol Kissel, Juho Mikaela, and Jamie Coyne. all three will not be back next year. Four, actually.
Michaela, my favourite Finnish player in the A-League.
The surgeon.
I was really hoping for big things from him. He came in with a very good scoring record, but he did. It didn't translate to A-League.
No, his touch just seemed terrible last time. And Jamie Coyne, I could have told you Jamie Coyne wasn't a good idea to sign.
No, surely he was a stopgap measure.
Yeah, I don't know.
Surely.
Anyway, our incoming A-League club Western Sydney has begun looking for players with ex-Gold Coast United midfielder Daniel Severino, one of the franchise's first targets. South Melbourne FC say if Prodigal Son and Brisbane Roar coach Ant Postecoglou got the job at Melbourne Victory, more South Melbourne fans may support the A-League club. There you go.
So are they saying there that there's a chunk of a big chunk of football fans in Melbourne that don't support either Victory or Heart?
At least seven.
Yeah, thanks.
Tony Mowbray, Middlesbrough manager, believes that Scott McDonald could make a huge impact after returning from injury at Middlesbrough's strive for promotion. McDonald made his first appearance almost two months after a knee injury as a 69th minute substitute in Boroughs 1-1 draw with Brighton on Saturday. So Scott McDonald back in the match action.
Well, if there's one thing you can do, you can score for his club.
That's right.
He's got to be a good player.
Chris Hurd scored an important goal on Saturday, netting a memorable first goal for Aston Villa in a 1-1 draw against Liverpool. A clash of heads in the closing stages of the match resulted in Chris Hurd being rushed to hospital, so we wish him well there.
He can't catch a break, can he? He finally broke into the first team at Aston Villa, then did his ankle for, 6 weeks, came back, scored a goal, and then clash of heads straight to hospital.
Absolutely, yeah. And for Australia's sake, a player that needs to catch a break. He needs to be in there and playing as well as he can do.
And so with a bit of luck, there's no major issues there and he'll be back in action soon. Elsewhere in the EPL, Tim Cahill played 81 minutes as Everton drew 2-2 at Norwich, while Mark Schwartz kept a clean sheet for Fulham when they won 3-1 against Bolton. In England's English League One, youngster Bailey Wright scored his first ever goal as Preston North End drew 1-1 with MK Dons. I would have thought he would have got at least one through his juniors career. In Japan's J-League, Alex Bross scored the winner as Shimizu S-Pulse went past Vissel Kobe 1-0. Bross netted the decisive strike on 82 minutes as Shimizu moved up to 8th. He really has blossomed since moving over
Seriously,
to Japan.
It's
been a really
very,
good
very
move
well.
For him.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if it was... set out that way, but this is a league that suits his style, that suits his level of play. He hasn't shot too far, he hasn't shot too high, and he's really found his feet as a result.
And last but not least, in Turkey's Super League, Cem Trioursi has netted for Kayserispor's third goal as they smashed relegated Ankagusu or something close to that 5-0. The strike was Trioursi's ninth of the campaign. So some good news for some Aussies abroad there.
Yeah, there's some great things happening overseas. Now we are the near post. We're talking football in Australia, and the big story of football in Australia is that the Hunter Sports Group, which is essentially run by Tinkler, is handing back their A-League licence. There's a couple of issues around that. The $5 million acquisition fee, the Kalina insurance issues, the overall $12 million investment that they've done, and the inability to resolve their problems with the FFA. Now, the FFA responded, FFA and Buckley, or FFA with Buckley, not quite sure what's going on there. It says that Hunter Sports Group can't hand back their license. They're legally bound, just as I guess Palmer was legally bound. So, Nick, bit of a surprise this morning?
Yeah, it came as a really, really huge shock, actually. I was on the bus back to Canberra, and I got a message from my dad saying Newcastle handing back their license, and I was absolutely flabbergasted. Tinkler came in with the idea of making Newcastle a big sporting mecca, signing Kalina, then lowering the prices to get some fans in, and it's just amazing that he's thrown in the towel.
But all this work, like as community models go, they were really starting to move towards a very strong community club. Tinkler really did put a lot of work into getting people to the club. It's a bit of a spit in the face.
Yeah, especially after bringing back Gary Van Egmont, one of the club's favourite sons, to coach the team as well. You think that I don't really see where he's going with this. Surely, if he was thinking about doing the pulling out with the license. Surely he would have raced with the FFA beforehand.
Is it? Is he purely setting himself up for negotiations? This is a bit of leverage. He's throwing out the nuclear bomb.
It might be the big shock in the water just to get some attention, because if he is legally bound, I don't think... I'm sure that he would have seen that beforehand.
So, Aaron, the FFA's response, how did you see that?
Look, it's an interesting one, because they've basically come out and said, look, Nathan Tinkler is legally bound by the A-League's participation agreement to honour the 10-year contract. But those are some very flimsy grounds. I mean, if someone doesn't want to be there, I mean, how much force can you put in to keep them there? You can pull back the money right back to the bare bones until the club's really struggling on and off the pitch. He can put freedom of speech as his front sponsor instead of the Hunter Sports Group. He can start making negative comments about the league. If an owner doesn't want to be there, it's really not in the FFA's best interest to keep them there against their will.
Oh, I think there's no better example than Palmer this season. Really, he just stopped paying out the contracts. He just had the young kids on there. And as well as that team did, really Palmer was taking his foot off the gas and just leaving it go. So we've got Palmer, we've got Tinkler, two guys who probably got more money than all of us combined. Are we seeing a splinter group?
I don't know about a splinter group, whether they're getting together and running something on their own, like an alternative football federation, but...
the billionaires. The
billionaires.
The B-League. The billionaire league.
I think the big question is, where to now? I mean, do you let Newcastle drop off, or does the FFA fund it like they refused to do with the Fury and with the Gold Coast? So are they going to be playing favourite sons here? Do they seek Canberra and try and get them in the league now?
Well, so here's my theory. Nick, is this an incredibly clever move by the FFA to bring the league back to even numbers and give Western Sydney a bit of time to grow so that they've got eight teams? They're not going to have the odd number and the weird sort of fixture list next season?
Keep in mind, this is all happening in the backdrop of the 2013 TV deal, which is due to be renegotiated as well.
I hadn't even thought about that. Messing that up sometimes, isn't it?
With the backdrop of all this negative PR, plus if you go to eight teams, that's only four games a week. It makes the rights worth a whole lot less.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, and Buckley was hired specifically for his negotiation and TV negotiation skills.
That's correct.
He did a really, really good job was it the AFL?
AFL,
yes, it was.
Yeah.
So is this the death knell for Buckley, Nick?
Yeah, the numbers that have been circling around for the TV rights deals are $30 million a season. They're looking for to cover the A-League's cost. At the moment, I don't think they're going to get anywhere near that. It's just been one disaster after another with the failed World Cup bid taking away from the A-League, the Fury dropping out, Adelaide, Brisbane and the Mariners all going through some really, really hard times with the finances. This is just...
So there's a lot of calls to have a look at the model which the FFA uses for financing their clubs. At the moment, one license, one owner. Does that need to move to community-based clubs?
I think the more you've got it spread around, the less chance that it's going to fail, because... with these sort of one backer sort of things, if they change their mind, you pretty much got no chance at all. But I think the more pies you have it in, the less chance you're going to fall over.
So community based models are surely sustainable models, or at least there's a better chance of sustainability within those models.
But a lot of people like to throw around this term community based model. But what does that really mean? Who's putting in the money? Are the members putting in the money? Because I can tell you most clubs don't have enough members to put up enough money.
We're not talking.
So it all comes down to the money. Where is the money coming from within the community? It's a big question, and I'm not sure anyone out there's given me a convincing answer.
The only club that I think I've seen some really good investment and sponsorship and advertising from is Melbourne Heart. I think they set themselves up very, very well with their sponsors, with Westpac and those sort of things. I think they're closer to running a profit or economically efficient club.
Deficit.
A deficit.
Oh, I would be astonished if they were running at a profit. Their crowds aren't nearly high enough to be breaking back.
Maybe they need to hire Postecoglou and get those extra seven members. But is this... the Serie A in Italy runs on controversy. This is their free publicity. Is this our free publicity? Is this good for the A-League that we're in the media all the time?
It's good that we're in the media. However, it's... they're not exactly the right reasons we want. It'd be all right if the clubs were staying in the competition, but if it's all about them leaving the competition and the ineffectiveness of the FFA as a governing body, don't think it's going to help the league in the long run.
Aaron, yes?
I look, to a certain degree, it's good to be in the newspapers, but when there's things that are happening which are generally damaging the reputation of the league and the sport, it's not good. I've never been one to follow the philosophies of all good publicity is good publicity. It's just not true.
Yeah. So, in summary, this is a horrendously poor thing for the FFA and the A-League, and we're going to suffer because of it.
It's not a good thing, no. But the FFA needs to move forward from here. They need to learn their lessons. They've learnt them twice before and haven't really done anything about it, and this has really come to a head now. So what we need to see is a clear plan moving forward, how we can get the ownership of clubs right. And the owners are quite right. They're the ones putting up the money. They're the ones losing millions each year. They should have a greater say in how the league is run. At the moment, it's the FFA, the parents, and they're the bratty kids which are getting a slap across the ear, and I don't think that's what they deserve.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there for part one. You're on the Near Post. We're suffering football across the Australian Community Network and looking for future steps. Something that I do want to just introduce, guys, and give you guys a bit of time to think on is I want to talk about who was the Coach of the Year this year in the A-League. But before we do go on to that, the final series. It's been, after all of this stuff, it's something we need to focus on. It's been a fantastic final series. There's been some great results.
It really has. It really has.
Perth Glory versus Melbourne Heart, 3-0. Shane Smeltz, despite bad haircut, is doing extraordinarily well. Perth Glory versus Wellington Phoenix, 3-2. Mm-hmm. Central Coast Mariners in the second leg against Brisbane Roar, 2-3. The winners was Brisbane.
Well, yeah, two very impressive games this weekend, going right down to the wire in terms of who was going to win it. Very impressed by Perth's comeback effort after Wellington went ahead. But yeah, the Mariners Raw game was pretty interesting.
Were there. Yeah. What was the feeling in the crowd? Is there hope in the Central Coast Mariners crowd? Because they don't have a particularly good record at the moment.
We've never actually beaten Brisbane Roar at the Blue Tongue Stadium.
Right.
I have to say, we've gotten two or three wins up at Suncorp, but we've never beaten them on our own turf. It's always been draws or losses. Look, before kickoff, there was a good atmosphere. About what I think it was a minute and 15 seconds after kickoff, it was dead silent except for the orange corner of the ground. But once we started scoring, it was a really good atmosphere. The crowd was fully behind them, but we couldn't get any further goals after the second half began, and we lost momentum and Brisbane pounced.
But I got the impression that the Central Coast mentally were beaten weeks and weeks and weeks ago, and when they crawled over the line to take the Premier's plate, they saw that as a real triumph, and that was the pinnacle of their season.
As soon as we won that Premier's plate, Graham Arnold said, it's the one that really matters, the grand final. Oh, it's a nice trophy, but the Premiership shows who's best ever season. But This is Australia. It's not Europe. The grand final really does matter to all fans, because we're seen as the perennial. I can't remember the bridesmaid, never the bride. And it's not a really good tag to have. We're called
Nick,
tokers.
As a Central Coast fan, do you give them any hope of coming back and winning this grand final? Because I don't even see them.
I don't see it happening. I think. Once we're no one in the team apart from Patrick Zonswijk actually tries to score a goal. But everyone else just waits for the ball to be put up on the platform. Like Adam Kwasniak, he's a pure poacher. John Sutton hasn't really done anything, in my opinion, since he's come along. Bernie Beanie is probably too young to take charge of a game. Rogic started well. He got two goals from two powerful runs, actually taking a shot when he was presented with the chance. But he's really gone back into his shell now. And how much
of this comes down to the loss of Matt Simon?
He was having the season of his career at the Mariners, but losing him, we just lost the concept of how to score a goal. We don't know what our best.
How's he doing over in Korea, by the way? I haven't heard.
Last time I checked, it was 3 games into the season, and his team hadn't scored a goal yet. I think we're about 6 or 7 weeks in now. I don't know how he's going, but I wouldn't think he'd get more than one or two.
So, Nick, this sounds like the pain of a broken-hearted man whose team is flustered.
It's really disappointing.
But let me give you this. The they're going to play Perth Glory.
Yeah.
There's every chance they're going to beat Perth. The last time Perth won away at Central Coast Mariners was 4 years ago in 2007, and that was in a pre-season cup game. Now, okay, Perth won the last time that they played, but that was in Perth.
In 37-degree heat after we'd played midweek in China.
So they've never played each other in a finals match. Perth doesn't have this experience. Central Coast Mariners will make it to the finals. I put that to you. And then it's just what happens on the day. Surely it's just what happens on the day.
It's
Bruce could, you know, tumble out of bed and hurt himself.
I think the Mariners are... They probably have a good chance of beating Perth due to the fact that Perth don't travel too well. It's about keeping Shane Smeltz quiet and whether keeping him quiet and making sure we don't put too much focus on him so the other players score goals.
So Aaron,
disagree, guys. I really give the Mariners absolutely no chance against Perth. I think Perth really will run over the top of them.
When you say Perth, you just mean Shane Smeltz and 10 other players.
Well, no. Shane Smeltz was actually really quiet against Wellington.
Oh, but that's the way Shane Smeltz is. Every single game, you think he's playing hopeless, and then he's got a goal, and you think, oh, well, he's had one good touch in 60 minutes, and then 10 minutes later, he's got two, and he's had a screamer.
Yeah, they're the dangerous strikers, aren't they? They're very quiet, and then they hit you and they hurt you.
He's a one-trick pony, but that trick is putting the ball in the net.
It's a pretty good one. Yeah, and it'll earn him a lot of money while he's doing it. So, you think Perth have got a chance, Aaron?
Yeah, absolutely. They've got all the momentum going through. If you have a look at Perth's results over the last 10, 12 weeks, they've really won a lot of games. They've got the momentum at the right stage of the season. The Mariners had it earlier. They had enough momentum to carry them over the Premier's plate line. They've given up mentally. I'd be surprised if the players think they're going to win. This is all Perth.
You think it's a cycle? Well, all right. I'm a Perth Glory, all cards on the table, Perth Glory fan, supporter. I remember the good old NSL days, at least towards the end, when Perth really were dominating the NSL. I'm desperately hoping that you're right, but I can't help but think that the lack of experience and their record against the Mariners means that they're not going to get across the line. But look, honestly, truly, I hope you're right.
Okay. I put a lot more faith in momentum than I do in history.
Right, okay. Now, one of the teams, I do want to talk about one of the teams, Brisbane Roar, the team, the biggest team that we've been pushing this season. Talking about one, we talk about Schmaltz being the key man for Glory. Is Broich as important, if not more important, for Brisbane?
I have to say, he was dangerous against us on Sunday, but Enrique and Berisha posed a far greater threat to goal for the whole game, in my opinion. Enrique was just running rings around Josh Rose. He just could not get any like contact on him at all, whether it was a tackle or just blocking his run.
Yeah, Broich is not exactly in form. His early season form in last year was much better, but where he gives Brisbane a big edge is the team still like to put defenders on him, which opens up space for other players, which I really think is why Enrique is playing.
One of the things where we got killed in this two-legged semi, I didn't really hold out too much hope for us, but the second goal against them up at Suncorp, five players all watching Thomas Broich, he passes to an unmarked Eric Partaloo, and Partaloo scores.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. He makes the other players play better. Whereas, you compare the two players, Smeltz is, like you say, that one-trick pony. Mm. But Broich has all the tricks, and the team plays better because of him. Mm. When he was out for the latter part of the season, Brisbane suffered. They started to splutter a little bit.
They did. They lost all five games while he was out, so he's obviously a very important player for them. But I just don't think he's in that good form right now. Mm. And I think Brisbane really do have the capabilities right across the paddock to win with.
If you were Postecoglou, though, you'd be doing everything to get Broich. You'd be playing him in the local under-14s tournament. You'd be playing him at training, essentially, in that sort of central role each and every night, just getting that passing going, getting the synchronisation with the team.
Yeah, I'd actually be keeping him cotton wool. You don't want an injury this start of the season.
Well, yeah. So let's say Brisbane don't have Broich. A Broichless Brisbane, are they beatable in the final?
They're probably more beatable. Well, I'd still back them against any team with or without Broich. And speaking of Broich, last year's Johnny Warren medalist, who's going to win it tonight?
Well, I'm going to go Matt Ryan. Or Swanswijk. They've been phenomenal for us this season. Without them, we would have been at least six on the ladder.
I think 6 weeks ago, I would have gone Matty Ryan because he was great. He was just almost unbeatable there, but he's dropped off towards the end. I genuinely don't know. Maybe Patrick Swanzwijk.
Yeah, Swanzwijk's a good pick. I really haven't given this too much thought. Matt Ryan's a popular pick as well.
He's young, he's Aussie. That's right. And that'll sway.
I really can't think of any other candidates. I mean, surely Perth over there have had a good season. They've got someone who's at least in the mix. Smeltz is playing well, peaking at the right end.
Yeah, I can't decide. And
Mitch Nichols, Schmelz, maybe. Schmelz, Mitch Nichols maybe? Might be a pick for me.
Mitch Nichols, again, good at the beginning, dropped off towards the end.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really not sure. It's going to be a very interesting one.
Well, I think in terms of those the finals, I think we are going to see Central Coast versus Brisbane Roar. And I think, despite your pessimism, Nick, I believe that anything can happen on the day, and we could well be seeing Central Coast come away with that title.
Do Mariners have a midweek fixture this week?
No, but both us and Brisbane are playing the week of the grand final. We are travelling to... I'm pretty sure we're travelling to Korea, and I think Brisbane have a game at home, though.
Okay.
On the hope that Central Coast... No, on the hope that Perth Glory will be playing Brisbane Roar, but the belief that Central Coast will be playing Brisbane Roar, I'd like to say thank you very much, guys, for attending. I can't wait to see what happens on the weekend. Mm. And I reckon that we will be seeing a great final, despite all of this horrendous off-season publicity, off-field publicity, rather. We're going to be seeing a great final on the field.
No city on the fence, Patrick. I think we're going to have a Perth-Brisbane grand final. I think Brisbane are going to win it.
Schmelz versus Broich.
Something like that.
Yeah. Nick?
I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope for the best.
All right. And on that note, if you're going to the near post...
Get there first.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first. Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first. Post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there.